We came to the conclusion that implementing a completion index of REIT sectors that the system didn't have exposure to could add diversification, it could lower costs, improve liquidity, and potentially increase returns for the fund over time.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. Joining me today to talk about how REITs are being utilized by pension funds to diversify and balance their portfolios is David Stafford, Deputy Chief Investment Officer at COERS, the City of Austin Employees Retirement System. David, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
So first of all, can you give listeners some information about the size of the COERS pension fund, its broader investment goals and underlying strategy toward asset allocation?
Absolutely. COERS is a defined benefit plan that administers retirement benefits for regular employees of the City of Austin and currently serves about 19,000 current, inactive, and retired members. The investments of the system total approximately $3 billion and are broadly diversified across asset classes, including equities, real assets, fixed income, multi-asset strategies, commodities, and cash. The COERS board has adopted a foundational set of investment beliefs that help us guide our decision-making and thinking towards our vision of being a best-in-class pension plan. Among these investment beliefs are our thoughts of being thoughtful, analytical, patient, and implementing what we like to describe as the Austin model of Austin investment management. Some of our key approaches to asset allocation include assessing the diversification benefits of various investment opportunities in light of the system's total asset allocation and the cash flow and liability profile of the system as well.
Great. And historically, what has been COERS's approach to real estate investment?
The fund has long had exposure to real estate investments, with some form of exposure to the asset class dating back to at least 2004. Over this period of time, the actual allocations to real estate have been roughly 10% of the total fund. And up until our allocation into a REITs completion index, which we'll be discussing today, this exposure was implemented through an open-end core private markets strategy. So this allocation provided a mix of growth and diversifying characteristics for the total fund and provided good exposure to office, retail, multifamily, and industrial property types, but not much more.
So what caused you to take a fresh look at your real estate approach? What options did you consider? And what does the real estate asset allocation picture look like today?
It's a great question. And as I mentioned, one of the foundational principles that the system has adopted in our investment beliefs is an emphasis on diversification in pursuit of the system's goals. In a total portfolio context, diversification is often called the only free lunch, whereby you can increase returns and reduce risk at the same time, as long as your assumptions hold up. So given our core real estate exposures were well implemented in private markets, we looked at a variety of options to evaluate the potential ways in which we may be able to increase the diversification beyond these traditional property types and the potential benefits that that could have on the total fund. So during a strategic review of the asset class, my colleagues and I noted that improved diversification, among other benefits, could be had by implementing in public market REIT securities. A particular note in this conversation was the explosion of different property types available in REITs over the past 20 years that investors can now easily get exposure to in low-cost, transparent, and liquid vehicles. We came to the conclusion that implementing a completion index of REIT sectors that the system didn't have exposure to could add diversification, it could lower costs, improve liquidity, and potentially increase returns for the fund over time. So today, our real estate exposure currently has a roughly 50-50 split between that existing core private markets fund that I mentioned earlier and a completion index of REITs that have sector exposures to the sectors that we didn't previously have exposure to of office, retail, multifamily, industrial. So much more exposure to new and emerging sectors such as data centers, cell towers, medical facilities, and the like. As the REIT space has changed and grown, again, we're able to increase our diversification with this completion index.
And David, how challenging was it for the COERS investment team to actually implement the new strategy? I'm wondering, perhaps, did it require a new investment mindset, or were there other steps that you had to take?
I think that's a great question. And I think going into this project or this idea, we kind of had some concerns that doing something like this may be difficult to actually implement. But in my view, the implementation was surprisingly easy. And we expected to run into quite a few snags along the way as we approached investment managers or index providers with an idea. As we surveyed the investment landscape and the offerings that were provided, we quickly found that not many managers had an off-the-shelf product that did something like this. So we pretty quickly realized that we were going to need to do something that was new and find some good partners to work with to be able to implement that. And again, as I said, we were worried that we might start to run into, you know, people don't really want to do this, or it's maybe outside their bailiwick, or the costs would be too high. But we quickly found some willing partners in both FTSE Nareit as the index provider and Fidelity of our investment manager, who also realized the potential benefits of this type of an approach and how it's well suited, particularly for us, Coers, as an investor in trying to accomplish our goals. So I think to answer your question, implementing it was surprisingly easy. I found good partners who were willing to do something that was a little bit innovative and new and required some outside-the-box thinking. And I think it was perhaps the having a differentiated mindset that was needed really to get this done. I think oftentimes in our industry, investors take the approach that it's much easier to invest in more off-the-shelf or prepackaged strategies, even if they don't necessarily meet your intended investment objectives perfectly. But having a willingness to do something different, to fund a new product or strategy for a manager, really allowed us to do something that was good for all the parties involved and particularly good for the system and helping us achieve our goals over time. So in that perspective, I think that having a different mindset or a mindset that's willing to dare to be brave or try new things was really a differentiating factor in getting this done. And we were, again, pretty quickly able to find partners who were willing to work with us to actually implement the strategy as well, ended up being the much easier part of the process.
Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at Nareit's REITworks Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and law for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Visit go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report to register. That's go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report. And what impact has the decision to include REITs as part of an investment completion strategy had on returns? And what do you really find most compelling about investing in REITs?
Yeah, a key note in that we highlighted in our analysis in making an allocation to REITs and to the completion index specifically was that there's a pretty significant lag between public markets valuations in REITs and in private market strategies that have a valuation of the underlying properties, whereby the public market valuations tend to lead private market valuations by about 18 months. So we invested in this strategy in very, very late 2019 with an inception date essentially of the beginning of 2020. And as I'm sure we've seen quite a bit of volatility in the markets over that period of time. So we've seen some volatility in REITs during 2022. It's now only beginning to show up in private market valuations. On balance, our analysis suggests that implementing the completion index has been additive to the fund, as we've been able to experience the expected benefits of this approach since our strategy inception. We've seen improved liquidity as expected, as the REIT market has held up well in terms of the available liquidity in those markets over the past couple of years, whereas more private markets, structures that are marketed as being open-ended, we've seen those funds gating redemptions from their investors where you're not able to get your money out. Additionally, we've drastically improved our exposures to the types of properties that were more likely to benefit from the structural demand changes coming from COVID. So as I mentioned, we've got more exposure to things like data centers and medical offices that the system didn't necessarily have much exposure to previously. These property types have held up much better over the past few years than, say, office REITs, which are down about 50% from their recent highs and are struggling to recover. So our analysis suggests that having exposure to these different, more diversified property types has added quite a bit of value to the system relative to the broader REIT index since our inception date, to the tune of about 2.7% annualized since inception.
How often do you go about reassessing your portfolio composition, and do you have any plans to increase your exposure to REITs?
Another key part of our process is to continually revisit our assumptions and approaches to investing as market dynamics change. So we're keen to reassess our decision-making, particularly here as it relates to REIT exposure on an ongoing basis. We have obviously a normal quarterly review cycle for the fund, but we also do a deep dive on each asset class, at least on an annual basis. And that's been our review cycle for real estate and for REITs specifically as well. Additionally, the important processes that we have to assess our exposures include asset allocation and asset liability studies that evaluate the system's asset mix in light of its liabilities as well. So we've got some ongoing work where we're completing those studies this year that will be very informative in sizing of our REIT and real estate portfolios specifically. So we don't have any direct plans one way or another, but we do have some big processes ongoing that are going to help us assess the benefits of these exposures in the total fund context and whether they should be increased, decreased, or stay the same. I'd say on balance, as I mentioned, there's been quite a bit of volatility over the past couple of years, and we've seen some of the challenges with public market strategies where correlations all increase at the same time during market downturns. And we've seen that between certainly stocks and REITs here over the short term. So a key question we're asking ourselves and assessing is, do we think that that's a structural change, a feature of the markets here, or something that we should just continue to hold and may revert back to normal?
And what are you monitoring most closely as you assess the likely performance of REITs in the months ahead?
It's certainly been an interesting market, and I think there's probably three big topics that we're keeping a close eye on and evaluating as we look at our REIT portfolio. First and foremost, I'd say some of the structural changes in demand in this market is very interesting and noteworthy, some of which was due to preference changes due to COVID and working from home, or the office sector in particular has seen quite a few challenges recently. But I think there are likely to be other structural demand changes over the coming years. If we think about the growth of data broadly and the need for data centers and infrastructure to support those items, we're seeing what was once a very niche sector of the market continuing to expand and in some instances be considered a much more core property type. So we're keeping a close eye on what those different subsectors are and their ability to grow into a more core exposure for real estate investors over time. Second, we've obviously seen increased financing costs. So as the Fed and other central banks have raised rates in the face of high inflation, we've seen higher financing costs then trickle through to underlying real estate exposures, which make it difficult, particularly, let's say, in real estate, where financing costs for projects in that sector are becoming a limiting factor in the available returns for certain property types. And finally, the way that has maybe impacted us as we think about the total portfolio is the impact on capitalization rates in REITs, where we see those now broadly across the markets at 5.5% to 6%, somewhere in that rate, which is pre-COVID and pre-rate increases, at least, was a very reasonable figure relative to our other investment options. But now we're seeing cash rates that are also 5.5% to 6% in some mandates. So we're having to assess the appropriateness of the valuations in real estate relative to what other interest rate and less risky yields are available to the system in evaluating our exposures over time. So it's been a really interesting market, obviously, and understanding the extent to which those dynamics are likely to stick around versus being more of a temporary blip on the radar is something that we have ongoing debate about as we formulate a more forward-looking expectation for the asset class.
And David, finally, do you have any advice for funds that might be considering a change in strategy such as the one that you undertook?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think something that we learned and I mentioned in one of the earlier questions was kind of daring to do things that are more customized. I think we found that there are a lot of willing partners out there to help partner with funds and investors such as us to be able to come up with customized solutions that best suit your needs. So I think as investors consider their total portfolio and what they're trying to solve for, and not settling for off-the-shelf products that may not suit your needs as well, and being willing to customize and work together with investment managers or the various interested parties to come up with solutions that are more customized to your needs and outcomes is something that we found to be very attainable. And I would encourage other investors to consider those types of approaches too.
Great. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.